Adam. Who built an ark to save his family and the animals from a flood? Was it A, Joseph, B, Moses, or C, Noah? C, Noah. Who killed a giant with a sling and a stone? A, Moses, B, David, C, Samson. It's B, David. Who was swallowed by a big fish? A, Jonah, B, Job, C, David. Yeah, it's A, Jonah. Who wrote most of the New Testament? A, Peter, B, Paul, C, John. B, Paul. Who was the first king of Israel? A, Saul, B, David, C, Solomon. Saul. Who was the first woman created by God? A, Leah, B, Sarah, C, Eve. C, Eve. Who led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt? A, Moses, B, Aaron, C, Joshua. A, Moses. Who was thrown into a den of lions for praying to God? A, Daniel, B, Ezekiel, C, Jeremiah. A, Daniel. Who is the mother of Jesus? A, Martha, B, Mary, C, Ruth. B, Mary. Who died on a cross for our sins? A, Paul, B, David, C, Jesus. C, Jesus. Who is the disciple who denied Jesus 3 times? A, Peter, B, James, C, Andrew. A, Peter. Great job, everyone. Keep reading God's Word.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you tonight. Hope everybody's been doing good this week. And let me just show you. We got some homecoming flyers. Miss Leela made, and so they're up here. If you'd like to grab one, pass one out. Homecoming is right around the corner. So, Sunday night we did good, I think. And it seemed like everybody enjoyed themselves. And talked with Brother Randy right after. I talked with Brother Randy. We texted each other on Monday, I think it was. And he went home and crashed, and I went home and crashed. And I hear others went home immediately and crashed. So had a good time, and I think we went about an hour and 45 minutes. But the good news is we were able to raise $4,595. $4,595. Good question, because obviously, you know, that was total. A portion we had left over from the technology upgrade. Someone had given the week before a good portion, and I want to say right at 1,000 was from Sunday night, right at 1,000. But that's tremendous, and our goal was 3,000, and so we've got some money in reserve now for the next project, whatever we don't use, so that is good. And we are, so thank you for your giving. You are cheerful givers. So the Lord willing, we're going to start preparing the Monday after homecoming in here. So just be excited about that, you know, you see things happening right before your eyes. And while I'm on the subject, that's going to be the last fundraiser, or at least the last job we're going to tackle for the year. We'll be getting into the holidays. We've got October coming up. It's going to take the rest of September to get this complete. And then we've got October, which we're going to focus on trunk or treat, outreach, October, November's Thanksgiving, then Christmas. So we'll hit the ground running in the new year with something else. But I want us to just focus on getting it right in here and really just enjoy what the Lord has got accomplished for us. You know, and then start thinking about Christmas. There's a lot of thoughts goes into Christmas. And so, that's what we'll do. And I want to focus more on outreach and reaching the community. We got things going in a good direction inside the church. And we still have outreach that we do monthly. But I really want to somehow make a big impact for our church name in the community. So y'all help me think of something, a way we can do that. I really want to leave a mark in the community. I really want people to know that we're here and we love them. We're going to focus on that during the holiday months going into the new year, try to really make a big impact in the community. And speaking of community outreach, this coming up Saturday, if you'd like to participate in that, we'll be meeting here at the church at 10 o'clock and going over to the soccer fields. Now, let me just say this. I have done my very best for over a month now trying to reach somebody at those soccer fields. I have left messages. I've called. I've bugged people on Facebook in relation to that soccer field. They're probably like, who is this weirdo trying to call me on Messenger, trying to text me on Messenger? And I haven't been able to get anybody. So I'm still going to get the supplies to hand out. What I want to do is maybe get some bottled waters, a church flyer, and the wristbands, put them over the bottled waters. It'll hold the flyer in as well and just pass them out just like that. If that plan falls through, we'll go to the skate park. If that plan falls through, we will go and finish the other side of the neighborhood, just back to door knocking. So what you can see where I'm going with this. I want to make it more efficient, the biggest punch with the least amount of work. Not that we're afraid to work, but you know what I'm saying. We're getting out there and we're pounding the pavement. I want us to be able to reach some people. And so if you can just help me brainstorm some ways of doing that. I know that there's several Powder Spring days they have. I believe on Thursday, at least certain times of the year here in Powder Springs, they got the farmer's market. And I like to go and set a table up from us, you know, and just invite people to church. Hey, can we pray for you? So we're going to shift our focus from fundraising and in church improvements this winter to outreach, how we can do that. And maybe we can have something big for Christmas, and maybe a New Year's kickoff, New Year's Eve service. I don't know, you know, something along those lines. But we are happy and we are rejoicing over what happened Sunday night, and looking forward to getting in the sanctuary here in a couple weeks. So praise the Lord for that. All right, we'll go through our prayer requests and updates. If anybody has anything, continue to remember my grandfather, if you would. Thank you for your prayers and cards you've sent. My grandmother and grandfather both appreciate that. Of course, I've been trying to get in touch with both of them this week, and I haven't been able to all week long. But as soon as I do, I will let you know how things are going. So remember that. And continue to remember Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Miss Connie Norton, Brother Harold, and all the rest of them. Our children's home, James and Shirley Townsend, Don and Carla Rich, Miss Carla's brother. Remember him in your prayers. Diane Ely and her back. Remember Brother Allen. We won't know until, I believe, September 1st if he's going to have his back surgery, Brother Allen, before homecoming or not. And so at any rate, he's going to be out for a while, whether it's before homecoming or after. And so we'll be covering, working with Brother Randy in the choir. And but just remember him on that, if you would. The Dailies, the Ashworths, Brother Jim, and his foot, his ankle, has to have surgery at some point. Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, the McCrickers, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook. So if anybody has a prayer request, the floor is yours. Updates. Excuse me. Your niece's daughter.
Yeah, my niece's daughter. My great niece.
Yeah, great niece. I tell you, anxiety attacks, panic attacks, it's terrible. It's a real thing. It's terrible. And we'll certainly be praying.
And she had two prayer requests that morning. Her church is going through a difficult time right now.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Yeah. Yes, he is. Divide and conquer. Absolutely. Up in New Jersey, okay. Let's remember this tonight. Let me say this briefly. So yesterday at chapel, there were two more souls saved. I got word on that. So praise the Lord for that. There were, on the retreat last Thursday through Saturday, there were six. So at Grace Christian Academy, there has been 10 young people get saved so far since the beginning of school. And, I mean, you can't make a young person come forward and say, hey, I want to get saved, okay? Something is moving in their heart. And God, we give him that name a lot, something, but we know who it is. It's the Lord, the Holy Spirit. So remember them. Remember them. I checked up on the two that got saved when I preached that Wednesday. And Caitlin and Samira, I talked with Samira's mom. They do go to a church, but I'm going to talk to her. I talked to her about baptism and discipleship, and I did the same for Caitlin, baptism and discipleship. And she would actually, Caitlin would like to come here and get baptized. And so we're talking about that, trying to get that scheduled. So that'd be great. That'd be great. They need to be discipled, don't they? They need to be discipled. That's the missing element. So I just want to share that with you. Anybody else? Yes, Miss Carlene.
She's feeling much better. She said to thank everybody for the prayer. She said she'd never been that sick in her life. She just, she said they're all going to be here Sunday.
Oh, great, great. Great.
She's having so much better than I talked to her yesterday.
Good. Good, good, good. My, yeah. Shows ownership. That's good. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, so very much. What a blessing. Anybody else? That's awesome. That is awesome.
He would want you up about, you know, that you really preach.
Yeah.
Not just,
God bless. Well, I try, and you know, beg the Lord to do something each and every service, and that's really good to hear. Back when we were at Zion View, we worked through families. You know, I believe our first Sunday there, we had like 15 there, like a crowd like this on a Sunday morning. And each person just started inviting family members and people in their family, and you know, it doubled and then tripled, and so inviting your family, that's, you know, reach your family first, reach anybody that you can, but you know, reach your family, and a lot of times that's how it starts. So thank you for sharing that. We'll be praying. Did anybody hear another officer got shot? Did y'all hear that this week? I don't know any details, but I just remember getting ready to take Lily to school one of the mornings this week. I remember hearing it on the TV, on the news. Another officer got shot here in Georgia somewhere doing something. So let's remember that, whoever that is, and his, he or her, their family, and, of course, this upcoming election, and who knows what's going to happen. They're already arguing over. I mean, there's people on the left trying to get at least three heads fired on the Republican side, who's trying to just make the voting more secure. And because they're thinking they're trying to pull something, and they're trying to pull something over here. And so there's just so much going on with this. Don't people know that it's going to take Jesus to change things around? It doesn't matter who's in the White House. Of course, it helps if there's a Republican in the White House. But it's going to take a move of God, that's for sure. But let's remember that. And anything else? Anything else? Okay, no church Sunday night. Make a note of that. No church Sunday night. We're going to give you Sunday night off. It's Labor Day. We don't always take off for just every holiday. But there will be a lot of people gone. This was going to be our first Sunday night back upstairs. But after last Sunday night and how well everybody did, all the hard work put in, and our goal being surpassed, we're just going to take this Sunday night off, go home, get some rest, enjoy your family. We'll have Sunday morning, but have off Sunday night in light of Labor Day. And so remember that. And everything else we have going on, we're rolling right into September. And so then October, November, December, 4 months till Christmas. It's amazing how time flies, isn't it? It is amazing. All right, if that's all, then we'll just come and have a time of prayer together. You can pray where you're at, and then Brother Jeff has a song. Thank you.
also called Down at the Cross. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down from sinning from sin I cried, there to my heart was a blood applied, glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name.
Jeff, we appreciate that, brother. Sure do. All right. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 2. We'll look at one verse. That is verse number 2. Familiar verse tonight. I want to bring you a practical lesson. First Peter chapter number 2. Bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we'll read verse number 2. Father, we love You. We thank You. We do praise You, Lord, for all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. We trust You in the unseen hand that You're steadily at work in our lives. So, Father, help us just take a few moments of dismissal mentally and just listen for You tonight to speak to us. Help us be reminded of some things that sometimes we forget, and Lord, we're just so very thankful for our church here and what You're doing here at Calvary. We move forward with trust and faith and total confidence in You, and we just love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 2, notice if you would in verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Peter here is talking about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Notice what he says. He says, as newborn babes. So, talking about spiritual growth, he compares it to physical growth. What's the requirements for physical growth? What's required for a newborn baby to start growing? Well, there's the potential for growth, but there's at least one requirement for a newborn babe physically to start growing, and that is food. Food. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So it takes food for a baby to grow. A baby can only live so long without food. There's the potential to grow. It is growing. But if the babe don't eat, the babe's going to die. And so Peter here is contrasting spiritual growth to that of physical growth. And so there's a requirement for spiritual growth as there is for physical growth. Can anybody tell me what that is? Food. Spiritual food. Scripture. Milk. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The same way that a baby can only survive so long without food is the same way someone who is saved can only survive so long without spiritual food. No doubt tonight there are times of struggle during our physical growing as a baby. Now, I can't remember being a baby. Can you remember being a baby physically? I can't. I don't know anybody that has ever remembered being a baby. But no doubt, when a baby is born, there is a struggle process. The baby can't tell the parents what's going on because it can't talk. It just knows that it's hurting. And so it cries. And most of the time it wants milk because it's hungry. It can't describe why it's struggling. It just knows it's struggling. And so therefore it cries. Now, the same way as a baby physically is the same way for someone spiritually who is growing. There's times in life where we're going through situations and we're struggling. We can't always express why we're struggling. We just know that there's something going on and we're struggling. So the same way, there are times of struggle during our spiritual growing process as a child of God. Sometimes we can say, well, we're struggling today because this happened, or we're struggling today because that happened. But there's times where we just struggle and we don't really know why. We can't put a finger on it. We just know that there's an uneasiness in our minds and hearts. Well, this is the growing process. You know, most places in Scripture refer to the believer as a child or children of God. Do you notice that? When you read the Bible, it's always a child of God, or I say unto you, children of God. There's two reasons for that. Number one is because God is our Father. But number two, we should always be growing. And so in Scripture, we're always, in most places, shown as children, even adults. Think about John in the epistles of John, my little children. Well, no doubt he was writing to not just children, but to grown people, I'm sure, of all ages who belong to Jesus, but he still called them children. And for the reason for that is it shows that God is our Father if we're saved, but it always shows that there is room to grow. There's room to grow. Now, tonight, with that said, I want to talk about this subject, the struggle of spiritual growth. The struggle of spiritual growth. Again, as newborn babes physically, they struggle. They struggle to grow. They may not be able, or they won't, they can't say why they're struggling because they can't talk. They just know they are. Same way for us. Sometimes we struggle. We may not know why we're struggling. We just are. Well, it's part of the growing process. And so there's a real struggle tonight when it comes to living for the Lord and growing spiritually. Back before you got saved, you weren't a threat to the devil. There was nothing about you that scared Satan. Now that you are saved, if you're saved, you are a threat to the devil. There is something about you that scares him, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ and the potential that you have to win others to Jesus. And so there is certainly a struggle. And so we have to struggle to learn about Jesus. We struggle in our faith and we struggle with different things, but the Lord is maturing us and He is growing us up spiritually. I want to give you tonight four reasons why one may struggle to grow spiritually. Four reasons why one may struggle to grow spiritually. Number one, some may struggle to grow spiritually because they may have never been born again. Now, I know that's elementary in thought, but listen to this. Listen. Think about it. In order to grow physically, you have to be born physically. A baby cannot grow into being a young child, teenager, adult, if it's never been born. A baby can't grow up in the mama's belly. That'd be crazy and weird. I mean, it just could not happen. There has to be a birth in order for the baby to start growing physically. Now, in order for you and I to grow spiritually, there has to be a spiritual birth. We have to be born spiritually. And then when we're born spiritually, we have the potential to become spiritual people, which Jesus is our spirituality. Turn over, if you would, to John chapter number 3 for a few moments tonight. John chapter number 3, the Gospel of John, not the epistles, but John. John chapter number 3, if you would. I want to start in verse number 3 and just read a few verses. What Jesus says about this spiritual birth. John chapter number 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. So, born again, he's differentiating the types of births that we have. He says there is a first birth and then there's a second birth, and he'll get into that. The first birth is physical, but he says there needs to be a spiritual birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, okay, that is connected to physical birth. The water breaks, a baby comes. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, meaning we are born physically. That's all that is a physical birth. There is no spiritual birth that is in conjunction with the physical birth. Nobody's born spiritually saved. They are born physically they're born. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We're born physically, and you can see us physically. But when someone is born spiritually, you can't necessarily see it tangibly, the spiritual evidence, as you can physically. But there is some evidence. He says the wind blows and you can't see the wind, but you can see its effects upon the leaves. He says it's the same way when we're born spiritually. We can't see the Holy Spirit entering a person. We can't see Jesus walking with us and whatnot. But we can see the effects of one who the Holy Spirit lives in. You can see a person express love and joy and peace and patience. You can see someone tell someone else about Jesus. That's the effects of the Spirit. And so tonight we see that in order for there to be spiritual growth, there has to be a spiritual birth. Again, the same way for there to be physical growth, there must be a physical birth. And so tonight, in order to grow spiritually, you have to be born again spiritually. I believe tonight, with all of my heart, that there are many people in the church world, worldwide, that go to church regularly, that tithe even, and support ministries, and support the ministries of the church, but have never been born again. That's why there are some troublemakers among us in the church world. That's why there's so much struggle in the church on one side of it. So bad through that's why there's a lot who struggle so bad through the week with sin and self. Not the only reason, but it's some of the reason why some struggle so bad during the week with sin and self, and it's because they have no power on the inside to change. Now, I'm not saying if you struggle during the week, you're not saved, but for a lot of people, they struggle. There's never no change. They're bullheaded. They're troublemakers. And the reason for that is probably because they've never had a spiritual birth, so therefore they can't grow spiritually. There are sheep, and there are sheep, and then there's goats in the church. Sheep follow, but goats butt heads. So sheep are followers, and goats are not going to finish it. They butt heads, so what does that tell you that they are? Okay, sheep follow the Lord, they follow leadership, but goats are always trying to lock up with you. Could it be the reason for a lot of that trying to grow spiritually is because they've never been born again? I think so. I think a lot of people in the local church, any given church, they come and they give and they participate, but they've never had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no spiritual life on the inside of them. So one reason many struggle to grow spiritually is because they've never been born again. But number two, listen to this. Another reason why some struggle to grow spiritually is because some feel they are fully grown. Okay? I'm preaching to all of us tonight. Okay? I'm not picking on the older Christians. I'm picking on all of us. All right? Some struggle to grow spiritually because they feel they are fully grown spiritually. Some have been saved for many years and feel that they can't grow spiritually anymore. I tell you, there's times where God takes me through something, Brother Ceylon, and He gives me some education on it, and He brings me through it, and I feel myself learning mentally. I feel myself learning in my heart. There's almost like a spiritual confidence that comes when you make it through the valley, or God sends you through a trial, and you feel like you've grown through it. Has anybody ever felt like that you've learned something? That's good. That's a good thing when you feel like you've learned something. But there are times where I feel like I've learned something, and I don't need to learn anymore. I mean, I learned. God taught me a lesson on faith, and I have a fiery sermon I'm ready to preach on faith, and it's no longer, no sooner than after the lesson, after the sermon, that I find myself in another time of testing. And so this struggle for spiritual growth continues. We don't ever fully arrive. Physically, listen to this, at the age of 19 or 20, a person is fully grown vertically. 19 or 20, no more vertical growth. But horizontally, We can continue to grow if we're not careful, okay? We can. But 19 or 20, vertically, that's it. That's as tall as you're going to be. Again, horizontally is the challenge. We don't want to grow horizontally. I used to say to Christy sometimes, honey, back before I even started losing any weight and everything, you know, if I ain't careful, I'll put some weight back on. But I said, honey, I feel like a busted can of biscuits. You know, you open them biscuits like that, they stick out the side and the can, it's about that tall, and I just felt like a busted can of biscuits. And so, Lord, help us not be a busted can of biscuits. You know, help us, Lord. But spiritually, it's different. Being saved 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, you will not stop growing. You will continue to grow, for, here it is, we encounter new experiences. How many in here tonight, it doesn't matter, if you want to raise your hand, you can. If not, that's fine too. At your age now, where you're at physically, and your age spiritually, how many has recently been encountering new experiences? I mean, it seems like there's something new altogether. I mean, you know, today we got it figured out. Tomorrow, boom. What in the world is going on? Lord, have you forgot about me? Lord, what are you doing? And so, physically, we stop growing at 19 and 20, but spiritually, we will be growing till Jesus comes or we die and go to the grave and meet Him that way. So, spiritually, it's much different. There's new experiences. I want to give you three examples of three men that didn't stop growing spiritually. Number one, Abraham. Think about it. Abraham got saved and he left Ur, the Chaldees. His dad served pagan gods and he went through all of that. He left home. Later in life, much later in life, God promises him and Sarah a son. Wonder how old he was, Brother Selon, when God promised that. Well, Genesis 21:5 says Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 91. And so, are you kidding me? God says He's going to do something great when Abraham is a senior and Sarah is a senior? Yeah. They're at retirement age. I mean, past retirement age. You know what I'm saying? And God says, I'm going to give you a son, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And does it, what does the Bible say? That Sarah laughed? You know, Abraham. How in the world is this going to happen? At our ripe old age, God is going to give us a son. So, as the story would have it, they got tired of waiting on God. Sarah, go get Hagar. Surely God is going to use Hagar to deliver this son. We know that Hagar was their maid, and we know that Ishmael came through Hagar. And that was not the promised son. So at the age of 100 and at the age of 99, Abraham, this great patriarch, is learning a lesson on jumping the gun. Learning a lesson on getting ahead of God. Listen, we will never master that. Only learn from past situations can we learn how to be patient, learn how to wait on God. Because we see here that even at their age, they were still learning this lesson. And finally, the promised seed came. Isaac came. Well, now all the testing's over. Abraham got his education. Abraham learned some things. Now Isaac is a young man, a young teenager, and now God says, Abraham, yes, Lord, I want you to present your son a sacrifice. What? What? Not only did we learn major lessons getting ahead of you, God, but at a ripe old age, but then you gave us this son and he's a teenager now, and now you want me to kill him? Still learning lessons. Still learning lessons, even at that age. Abraham believed God so much, he staggered not at the promises of God. He felt so strongly that God would keep his word, that even if he killed his son, God would raise him from the dead to keep his promise. So Abraham went down to slay his son, and God told him to stop, and there was a sacrifice behind Abraham, a ram caught in the thickets by his horn. And so there was an exchange there, and the sacrifice was made through the ram. And listen, the moral of the story is this, is just that we don't ever stop growing. Ever. Never. And so the reason why some people struggle with spiritual growth is because they feel like they're fully grown. And God could be trying to teach them a lesson, but they've got the Lord kind of turned off. Well, Lord, I'm old enough. I've been through enough. I know how this goes. Surely you're not speaking to me about doing something crazy or fresh or new. Surely not. But we've got to, even whatever age we're at, just say, Lord, speak. We're listening. Whatever you want to do, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I'm alive, and so therefore, I know you want to do something with me. And so as long as we're alive, God still has something for you to do. Always. What about Noah? What about the man Noah? Noah got saved. Had three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Time passed. They got older, got married, and then all of a sudden one day God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And Noah, he didn't know what an ark was. There's never been rain, but he believed God, and he began working on the ark, and most people believe it took 120 years to build this ark. He and his wife and three sons that were married and their daughters, a total of 8 people, entered that ark when it began to rain. That was it. Nobody else. Noah is an older man. He is stressed. He is wore out. He's been taunted for all those years. And now God fulfilled his promise. And he was on the ark safely with his family. I got a question for you tonight. This doesn't have a lot to do with the message in this point, but I found it interesting. Noah's wife, her name is not ever mentioned, to my understanding, on the scriptures. Can you find it, Selah? I can't find Noah's wife's name. Why isn't her name mentioned? Why? Well, many speculate and have their opinions. I'll just say this, that her name didn't have to be mentioned because she was faithful to her husband and her Lord. The silence of Noah's wife speaks volumes. And anytime there's a silence, I'm learning now, anytime there's a silence in Scripture, God is speaking loud about something. So when you're reading your Bible, and if there's something that seems missing, really ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Because what I gather from Noah's wife was a supportive wife. All the days and all the years rolling by, he was building this ark. She believed her husband, believed in her husband. She supported her husband, her Shem, Ham, Japheth supported their dad. Think about how the kids felt, and people making fun of Noah in the community, and the boys ready to fight every time someone makes fun of dad. And then that affects the wives of the kids. Well, they're making fun of, you know, our father-in-law. And so it's affecting the whole family. But you see, even at Noah's age and the kids' age and the wife's age, they were all faithful. And because they were progressing in age did not mean that they weren't progressing spiritually. They were growing spiritually all through that. Now, I did find it interesting that Lot's wife, her name was mentioned in Scripture, or at least what happened to Lot's wife. As God was raining down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, and the family was leaving, Lot's wife turned back. She was missing her home. She was missing the life that they built there. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. What about Job's wife? Her name, or at least her title, was mentioned when her husband was stricken in body and bulls, and he was cutting himself trying to get relief from his bodily situation, his wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And we don't know. Ladies, you don't know what you would say if something terrible, terrible, terrible happened to your husband, that your husband followed the Lord all the days of his life. You know, if the roles were reversed, we don't know. I don't know what I would say if something bad happened to Christy. God forbid, something bad happened to me. I would hope that she would say great things about God still, and you would say great things about God. But we could certainly understand a little bit of Job's wife, can't we? We would never curse God. We would never say that. But she lost all of her kids. And her husband's getting ready to die. All she's seen in the life of her husband was a man that had a good name, serving the Lord, went out to make sacrifices every morning for the whole family. Now everything's gone. Lost their finances, lost their family, and now he is losing his health. And she, in her hurt, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, you never hear about Job's wife again in that story. You want to know why? I feel like she grew through that situation. She now has a meek and quiet spirit. And we know God restored to them other kids and the finances. And listen, Job's wife got an education. And so we never stop growing. And we have Noah and his wife, and we have Noah and his kids and his daughters-in-law in the ark. 120 years it took to build that ark. They just kept on growing spiritually. Some people feel like they have made it already. They've learned enough. They've turned God off. God, I got it. I know how to operate in this situation. Why do you think God sends new situations? Because if you're like me, I say, God, I got it. I've been here before. And then boom, a whole new something happens I've never dealt with before. Therefore, I'm dependent upon God. God will keep us dependent upon Him. So we have that in Noah. We have that in Abraham. What about Moses? What about him? Moses got saved. He had an amazing life as even a baby. Pharaoh wanted to slay the kids and under a certain age. And so his mom made a little ark and put him in the river. And we know that he was found and raised in Pharaoh's court. And he turned 40 years old, and he had this education from Egypt. And then we know about that age, he murdered a man. He murdered a man. And he buried him in the sand. And then he fled. And for the next 40 years, he was on the backside of the desert being a shepherd. He was learning about sheep. He was attending their needs. Moses probably thought, well, this is my life, and I'm going to find contentment in it, and this is it. I've learned a lot. Thou shalt not kill. I learned that. But now, God spent 40 years teaching him how to care the right way. He was caring after the people of God when he killed that man. You ain't going to hurt my brethren. And killed them. Buried them in this. You can't do that in life. There's a right and a wrong way of doing something. And Moses had to learn. He had an anger problem. And now Moses is known as the meekest of all men. But it didn't come without an experience. And at 80 years old, Brother Ceylon, Moses one day, just like every day, come on, little sheep. Come on, come on. What is that? There is a bush on fire. And Moses looks at that bush, and he notices the bush is not burning up. It's just a steady fire in that bush, and it's not going out. It's not burning the bush. It is staying burning. He knew there was something taking place in that bush. God got his attention. God burned his bush, got his attention at 80 years old by doing something amazing. And God called him to be the leader of Israel, to lead the people of God out of Egypt. God was training him for 40 years looking after them sheep, feeding the sheep, cleaning up after the sheep, scratching the sheep, petting the sheep, just looking after the sheep. And then God says one day, all right, I got to get Moses' attention. Wham! This burning, fiery fire in a bush that did not consume the bush. You know, there's times in life where Mondays come and Mondays go, weeks come and weeks go, and time passes on, and we're just doing things regular and routine. We wonder if God is ever doing anything in our life. We've been given to Him and going to church and reading our Bible, doing the best we can, and time ticks on. Time is going on and nothing happens, and all of a sudden, wham! Something happens in your life. And I feel like one of the main reasons why there's times where we experience this wham is because God is getting our attention because He still wants to grow us. Moses was 80 when that bush burned. And Moses led the people of God. And Aaron, his brother, was the mouthpiece. Have you noticed that Moses said he couldn't speak? And so because, my speech is slow, I stutter. And so Aaron was to be the spokesman. But not many times Aaron even spoke. Moses did. Moses did. God enabled him. And so he led them on an exodus out of Egypt and went through all the things he did, the Red Sea and going through Marah and all of those things, and then wandering in the wilderness 40 years trying to get to the promised land and died just outside the promised land. You know what that tells me? Moses died when there were still more things to experience. He did not experience Canaan. He died. He died leading the people of God to this certain place, and God allowed him to see it but not experience it. So at 120 years old, Moses died still not experiencing everything. He didn't know what it was like to go into Canaan, had to drive the enemies out. He didn't know what that was like. Joshua did that. And so we just never grow fully spiritually while we're here. There is so much God wants us to experience while we're alive. So there's a struggle for spiritual growth, and sometimes it's because some feel like they're fully grown. Let me mention something else. This struggle of spiritual growth occurs because some, it's not so much they feel like they're fully grown as it is, some have just not added to their faith. Not added to their faith. This is one reason why I'm so burdened about discipleship. I want them kids to grow in the Lord. I want believers who've been saved for a length of time to grow in the Lord. I want to keep growing in the Lord. But that some have just not added to their faith. We have a responsibility when we receive salvation. There's three places I want to share with you briefly. And in all three places, it takes work to grow. First of all, 2 Peter chapter number 1. Turn there if you would. Follow along on the screen. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Notice if you would in verse number 5. 2 Peter 1. 5. Peter speaking to the saved, the believers, those who know Jesus as Savior. He says, and he mentions all these things, grace and peace and all these things, promises that we have the ability to make it through this life. In verse number 5, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue. And then it says, and to virtue, knowledge. Verse 6, and to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Sounds like a lot of work, don't it? It is a lot of work. It takes a lifetime to accomplish all those virtues and express them. So he says, add to your faith in verse 5. You can just go ahead and say that word and is add. Verse 6, that the two words and, add, add. And to knowledge, temperance. Add to temperance, patience. Add to patience, godliness. And so there has to be this act on our part. We have to actually do something. A lot of people think that salvation, you get saved, you're going to heaven, that's it. That's the starting point. Praise God when we get saved. We know our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're going to heaven, but we're still here, and there's work to do. God wants us to grow. It's only natural for a baby to grow. And so we see here there's the word add. And verse number 8 says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if these things are in you, you are growing and you are showing. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, he that lacketh growth, is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So he's saying that as a believer, it is possible to be saved and lack growth. He says, and the person that is lacking knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, it may not be that they're not saved. It just may be that they have forgotten or got over their salvation. There's a lot of people that aren't in church anymore that I feel like that are truly saved, but they have what they call spiritual nearsightedness. He says in verse number 9, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He ain't talking about spiritual blindness as one being lost. He's talking about someone who at one time has caught a glimpse of the cross and trusted Jesus as their Savior, but they can't see afar off and they've forgotten. In other words, when I take my glasses off, I can't see none of you. And you know, that's pretty scary because I hope the eye business, Elon, doesn't go out one day. Because if it does, I won't be able to see anything. I can see up close, but I can't see far away. Some people have gotten so comfortable spiritually that all they can see is what's right here in front of them, this world, and you know, being caught up in the world and materialism and social media. And they may be saved, but they're just so caught up right here. They can't see far off. They have forgotten about God's only begotten. And you know, that's a song. We had the servers here a couple of jubilees ago, and I had them particularly sing that song. I have not forgotten God's only begotten that lived and died for me. But you know, the truth of the matter is, church, if we're not careful, we can struggle. And because we have forgotten or God's preeminence, God being first place in our life has trickled down to second place, third place, fourth place, and we can lack spiritual growth. Verse 10, Peter says, if you're lacking spiritual growth, you do need to examine yourself to see if you're even saved. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make sure, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. In verse 13, Peter says, I'm saying all of this to stir you up because one day or shortly, I'm going to die. Some have not added to their faith. That's why they're struggling spiritually. Now, number two, Philippians 2:12 for just a moment. Philippians 2:12. Notice this. There's the word add in 2 Peter 1:5-9. And in Philippians 2:12, there's the word work. Paul says to the Philippians, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work in your salvation because they already had salvation. Now it was their job. Jesus did all the work on the cross. He's the one who accomplished salvation's plan. And when we accept that, we're saved. But now it's our job to work out what's inside. And so there's an act on our part. Just to reconfirm the salvation experience, verse 13, he says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God will give you the want to work out what's in you. He'll give you the want to. And tonight, if there's no desire in our hearts to live for God, to grow spiritually, then that means that God is not in our hearts. Because, listen, it's God that gives us the desire to come to church. It's God that gives us the desire to grow spiritually. It's God that gives us the desire to pray and seek Him, tell people about Jesus. And so when that element is gone, it's all us doing it. There's people, again, I feel like there's people who are in services all across America every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, who come to church and they don't know the Lord. Some come to church because they feel like it will get them to heaven just by going, a religious act. By giving tithes, it feels like they feel like some way that God will see that and one day have mercy on them and they go to heaven. The Bible says, many will say to me that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this and have we done not done that?" And the Bible says, He will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so here Paul is saying that God saves and God supplies. He gives the desire to live. And so it's our job to work out what God worked in. And so we see that there. The word work. And then look in Hebrews 5:12. There's another action word, and it's the word exercise. Ooh, exercise. Whew. I walked twice today. And I tell you, the first time I walked today was this morning when it was cool. Praise the Lord for that. But then I made a mistake and I walked like at 2 o'clock. I mean, it was in the 90s, Bro Ceylon. So I was in my study, and every time I'm in my study and it's cold in the house, praise the Lord, I get so cold. I mean, literally, there's been times in my study when I get through on Saturday night, I come out with a jacket on. I just get cold studying. I do. And, you know, just dieting and all that kind of, it's sometimes, I mean, you just got to get in that mindset and fall in love with your study time, fall in love with doing it. But anyway, I went walking today, and I could still see my house. And I started to feel that heat, and I was thinking about turning around. Still see that. I thought, no, I got to do it. I got to stay on track. I got to go. And so I did. And each lap is 1 mile long. And I ain't saying a block. I'm saying a mile. You know, a mile is from here all the way to the railroad tracks, the end of Powder Springs Road, or end of Powder Springs, Old Town Powder Springs, right there at the railroad tracks, and it turns into Brownsville Road. From here to there, that's about a mile, roughly. And I wanted to walk, but I started feeling the heat. I didn't want to walk, so I just committed to it in my mind and just kept walking. There's nothing exciting about exercise until you get involved with it. Then there can be some excitement when you start to see what happens when you exercise regularly. So look at this. In Hebrews 5, verse number 12 through 14. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses," notice that word senses, then the word exercised, "to discern both good and evil." The word senses there means to taste. It means to sense or smell something. So tonight, if nobody told us Papa John's was going to show up, by the time his service was over, come in the front door and lay down 5 meat lovers pizzas. And he laid them down and he walked off. I choose Papa John's because I love pizza. And I've moved from Marco's to Papa John's. Don't you say anything bad to me. I'm trying to cut back on the pizza nights. Okay? I'm still walking, dieting. But after a few minutes, somebody will go, y'all smell that? And you'll see a smile on my face. Somebody's cooking pizza. Somebody delivers some pizza up here. And so you've had experience with pizza. You've eaten it before. You know what it smells like. And so the writer here, he says that those who exercise their senses learn to discern both good and evil. It means smell. It means internal sensing. You get saved, you give yourself to study and prayer over a period of time, you'll grow and be able to smell some spiritual things. Isn't that right? You can even discern some things about people when maybe they're being malicious, maybe when they're being good-spirited, trying to be a blessing. You begin to sense when things may go wrong in a situation. Lily is learning to just trust me and Christy. Well, guess what? We have been there. We've done that. We know, you know, what them boys are like. We know what school is like in high school. And I tell her sometimes, you just got to trust me. Just trust me. I've been there and I've done that. Same thing spiritually. We grow and over a space of time. Sometimes we come in here and we're studying God's Word. We're going home and we're reading it at home and we're praying and nothing's happening. And we don't think, and we're living life and new experiences. But one day you'll look back and you'll be able to use what you went through then now. God was you were taking the initiative and allowing God to give you an education, and you can smell some things. You can smell when God is moving in a service. If anything that, and I have no claims on this, all glory goes to God, but in my years in ministry, if I am learning anything, I like to think I'm learning and sensing what God's trying to do in a service. Even beyond that, being a husband, being a parent, not just a husband, a parent, but one who is saved, through the years, I like to learn that I'm able to sense things and discern things. That's what's supposed to happen. But some people, they struggle with spiritual growth because they haven't added to their faith, they haven't worked out their salvation, and they're not exercising their spiritual senses. They could be a teacher by now, but they're still in the learning stage, even being an older believer. Chapter 6, verse 1 says this, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit. So he's saying that you've known about baptism for so long. You've known about the doctrine of salvation. You know how to get saved. And you know the doctrine of baptism. And you know what the Bible says about repentance. And you know about the resurrection and all of that. Well, let's move on from that and learn something else. Let's dive a little deeper. He says, you have been saved for so long. And listen, I'm not directing this to anybody here tonight. I'm not directing this to nobody. Nobody. I'm just saying that you've been saved for years, and the only thing that you could say is, you know, Jesus got up out of the grave on the third day. You've been saved for years. And the only verse you can quote is John 3:16. I'm not being harsh. I'm not being cruel. I'm not being unkind. But we ought to go on to maturity. Go on to maturity. We don't have to talk about the simple elementary doctrines, although we do at times because it's in the Bible. Let us move on and go on. Let us exercise our spiritual senses so that we can discern good and evil. He's talking about that word senses in verse 14, chapter 5. Well, if I can read my own handwriting here. It's just the ability in having the faculties internally to discern what's right and what's wrong. Long use in habit toward Bible doctrine. We learn it, and it's time to grow and move on from it. Let me mention something else. So we have tonight some struggle with spiritual growth because they've not added to their faith. Some struggle spiritually and struggle growing spiritually because they're not putting in the work. You know what the definition of disciple is? Discipline. One last thing. There's some struggle when it comes to growing spiritually because some are being pruned. Some are being pruned. John chapter 15, verse 2. John 15. Listen, growing spiritually is a struggle sometimes. And sometimes it's a struggle because we're being pruned. John 15, let me get there. Verse number 2. Listen to this. John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Here he's talking about someone who is bearing fruit. Someone who is growing as a Christian, doing what they're supposed to do. He says, but even then God brings by the pruning shears because he sees fruit, but in his mind and heart, he sees the potential for more fruit. And how does he accomplish that? Remember those pruning shears I brought out that one Sunday and I broke them? I was pruning so hard it broke and flew off. I was pruning the other week at home. Our bushes, we got 5 bushes in the front and 5 some kind of bushes in front of those. I don't know what they are. But it was time. Man, it was time. They ended up looking like one long bush straight to the ground. And so I got out there. I was excited about my yard day. It felt good that morning, that afternoon. It was devil hot. And so I got out there and I had the same pruning shears. They still work, although they're broke. And I was on top. So the bush was like this big, and I was going to go down about like this. I thought about cutting a foot off with pruning shears. So I got to snipping and pruning and pruning and pruning and pruning. And then I have to step back from time to time and take a look. And then I said, well, let me prune some off the bottom. And then I said, well, let me get the bush off the ground. And so I trimmed it off the ground, got it like in a perfect circle. Whew, had 4 more to go. I mean, it took like 45 minutes on that one. And man, I had to take a break, and I got back at it, trim. They got these in the front, trim. And then I got through, went up in the street, and I looked. I said, man, that looks pretty nice. At that point, I was ready to go to Home Depot and get some mulch. But boy, I struggled through that pruning stage. But standing back looking at it, I was like, I didn't go to Home Depot, but I wanted to. Okay, it just showed that there was a change in me because I saw what was happening. God prunes us sometimes. You don't know what's going on in your life. You've been following God the best you can. Could it be God sees spiritual growth, but he don't want just a Christian with good growth. He wants a Christian with great growth. That's why we go through some of the hardest circumstances in life. That's why we answer the phone and someone says, I'm sorry to inform you, but so-and-so's passed away. That's why we go to the doctor and the doctor says, I don't have good news to share with you, but I got this treatment plan for you. That's why we We have burdens and things go wrong. Things could be going great one day, but then the next day, everything could be changing. It's because God wants us to keep growing. And He does that sometimes through pruning. Pruning is cutting. There is a sense of loss in pruning. When I pruned those bushes, I lost a lot of leaves, whatever you want to call them. I lost them. They were gone. And when God is pruning us, there is a sense of loss. In some way, there is a sense of loss. But God does it for the intention that He's going to take a step back and look down and say, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, that's what I like." It's always with the intention of what He has planned. He has growth planned. And I've said it before from the pulpit, I don't always agree with what God's doing. I would do things differently. I still wonder why God does the things that He does and why He chooses to touch people like He does and call them home early and allow certain ones who've been serving God their whole life to come down with cancer right now at, what's that, New Seasons Church in Hiram? The pastor has stage 4 cancer, and I just heard the wife just got, I may be wrong, but I just heard something happened to the wife. Maybe the wife got cancer too. I don't know. But we're talking about a man who serves God. Why? I don't agree with that. To this day, I don't understand why the Lord allowed Johnny Ivey to get stage 4 cancer and die, not even 50 years old yet. A fireball preacher, my Bible seminary teacher. He was just ate up with cancer, and he turned yellow, and he shriveled down to this little old man, it seemed like. And he preached Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and he died the next week, or he died like on a Wednesday of that next week. I don't agree with it. Is there something that I gleaned from that? Oh yeah, I did. What a man of God, what power I seen in him during his final breath. He was preaching the gospel. I still got a text message in my phone from the night before he died. I said, "Brother Johnny, I want you to know I love you and I'm here for your family, brother." He texted me back and said, "Brother Justin, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Love you too." And that was, my goodness, he's been dead. He's been gone now, what, I don't know, 4 years at least, something like that, 4 or 5 years, something close to that, and I still got that text message. I don't agree with it. Why don't the Lord take someone who's out here committing murders? But you know what? I'm not God. You're not God. We just have to trust. We have to trust that there is a reason for the exchange. Why we give somebody up while serving God. We have to, and we know. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good." I said this before, and I actually went back and I thought, man, why did I say that? But it's really true. I would not choose to do things the way God does them sometimes, would you? I mean, I want my family to be with me and nobody to have cancer and nobody to die and everybody to be hunky-dory and live and then one day go to heaven. But it's not that way. We're living under a curse. We're living in mortal bodies who are prone to sin. We are decaying daily. We start dying when we're born. These things are going to happen. And the blessing is, as a believer, along the way, God has a purpose. We may not agree with it, but God is weaving everything together for His purpose. And one day we'll see Him face to face in our family. And right here, right now, I say I have questions. But Brother Jeff, you know as well as I know, when we get there, there's not going to be no questions. There's going to be no questions. The former things we will remember no more, no more pain, no more sadness, no more heartache. All things will be brand new. Amen. So some are being pruned. Some have not added to their faith. Some feel they're fully grown. Some may have never been born again. That's the lesson tonight, the struggle of spiritual growth. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all things, God. Thank you for the sweet spirit here tonight. Thank you for the teaching ability. I pray that something was said to help somebody. I feel like we all fall in one of these categories tonight. And so just give us grace whereby we may serve you acceptably. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Anything to mention before we dismiss? All right. Well, I appreciate it. I don't normally go this long on Wednesday nights, but hey, when it's flowing, why stop it? All right. Thank you so much for coming. You're at liberty to go. Be safe out there.